This morning, we're going to be talking about the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet is one of those that we consider a major prophet in the Old Testament. And in the very beginning of this book of Jeremiah, I think we have some very strong and powerful words that we need to pay attention to. Now, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." And then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" And I said, "I see a branch of an almond tree." Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Did you know that the Lord your God, who created you, who designed you, just like I told these young people down here this morning, it's no different for us as adults. The Lord God has designed each one of us. He has watched over us. He has cared for us. He's brought us through the trials of life and the tribulations of life to bring us to right where we are today. Even to the point of inspiring us to come and gather in His name so that we're sitting in this sanctuary right now. God's hand is on us, and besides that, He has a vision for our lives. God knows who we are, and He knew who we are, Scripture says, before we were born. Now, these things that He says to Jeremiah, He said to a particular group there who were the prophets in the Old Testament. Well, I got some news for you. When Jesus came and He died, He elevated every one of us to the office of priest. Everyone who believes is a priest and a prophet. And we are of the God, and therefore we, being a prophet, being the people of God in this generation, are the people who are supposed to speak for God, and that's exactly what the prophets of the Old Testament done. And the reason I'm telling you these things is because I want you to see how this speaking to Jeremiah here actually is for us as well. You see, some people are living out their lives in accordance with the vision that they have for their lives. Others according to the vision that other people have for their lives. I can't tell you how many people come to me and tell me, you know, "I've done this and this and thing because my mama pushed me or my daddy pushed me or my whatever. I never did enjoy this at all." But God wants us to live for the vision that He has for us in our lives. I want us to see how that works in our lives today as we look at this scripture. And before we can look further into the subject, let's consider a very important claim that we see right here in verse 4 regarding our origin. And we see in verse 4, "Now the word of the Lord come to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nation." Now, the question comes up here in a lot of theological circles is, did Jeremiah have a choice? Did Jeremiah have the ability to go the other way? Because it says, before you were born, before I formed you in the womb, and before you were born, I consecrated you. There is an argument among theological students and professors and all that Jeremiah, because he was consecrated in the womb, didn't have a choice. Well, I will tell you that that is absolutely not the case. And because Jeremiah had a choice, he is no different than any of us. Every one of us have a choice to be able to follow the Lord God, to follow His direction in our lives, and to be His. It's a choice. And it's not only a choice that we make one time, but it's a choice that we make daily, and a choice that we make regularly, this consecrated you, I will tell you that every single one of you gathered here this morning has been consecrated by the Lord God also. He has a plan for you that includes the consecration of His love and the consecration of setting you aside to do His work. It's up to you whether you will follow that. And I think that we as the church need to understand that. We are all set aside, set apart to be holy, to be separated from this world, and to do the work of the Lord. Now, God tells Jeremiah that He formed him in the world. He knew him is the word that comes in some translation. God said, I knew you before you were born. That formed is to know intimately, know completely. And He says that He formed him in the womb of his mother. Now, I don't know if it'll make you feel different about your circumstance or about your being, but I want you to know that God actually made you with His own hand. There is absolutely nothing accidental about you. You are who you are because God wanted it that way, and He chose every characteristic about you. Do you have any doubt that He made Adam and Eve? I don't know if that knowledge changes your view or at all, but it has mine. Giving me a different perspective. Now, we tend to think that God made Adam and Eve, and that's no really contest about that. But the rest of us were just conceived according to the way God laid it out and let it happen. But that is not the case. There's only a couple of things that are different about the way God made Adam and the way God made you and me. Adam, first of all, was made a mature grown man, while we are brought into the world as infants, needy, helpless. Adam was made in the Garden of Eden, but we were made in our mother's womb, no less the handiwork of God. We've all been made by God, whether in the womb or in the garden. And this claim is repeated in Isaiah's scripture, in Isaiah's book at chapter 43, verse 1. God's word tells us clearly that each one of us is custom made, formed by God. God configured, formed, shaped, and designed us to be who we are, consecrated for His kingdom and for the work that He would have for us to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to all the people around us all throughout our lives. Now, someone said that we're not born because our parents came together, but rather our parents came together because you had to be born because God knew that your time was ready. I like to think of it in that way. Everyone, every person is here for a reason and in a time for a reason. Now, there's three things from the passage about God's vision that are worth noting here, and this is the first half of the sermon. God's vision, first of all, God's vision is very big. We tend to look at things and we see the limitations that we have. We see the limitations of our abilities, the limitations of our character, the limitations of our finances, the limitations of our upbringing. We see all kinds of limitations around us. But look what he said. I'll go up to verse 6. He said, I don't know how to speak. He said, I'm just a boy. And he was just a boy at this time. He said, I'm young. People won't respect me if I go and tell them things. But God said, do not say I'm only a boy. God said, do not emphasize your limitations. Do not emphasize the limitations that you see for your life. Why? Because I am the Almighty God, He says, and I'm the one that's in control, and I'm the one that's designed you, and I will put anything in your life that you need in your life so that you can succeed. He said, Jeremiah, do not worry about being a boy because I'm going to put truth in your mouth. Amen. And that's what Jeremiah needed. That's what God wanted Jeremiah to speak some truth to the people who lived in that day. And He's got the same thing in store for us, what He wants us to be able to do for His kingdom in this day. And he said, don't say I'm a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. I'm going to tell you, there's a secret about this here. The only thing, if you're speaking what the Lord's commanded you, the only thing you can speak is truth, because his word is truth, and it's the only truth that we'll ever know. Amen? It's important for us to not get lost in our inabilities. We kind of get to be like Philip. You remember Philip there when the Lord had a bunch of people there gathered all around him. And he told the disciples, well, go and feed them something. And Philip kind of got to thinking about that. Maybe he brought out his calculator or something. He said, wait a minute now. If we feed all these people, it'll take 6 months' wages and we still won't have enough. All he could see was the physical reality around him. But we see in verse 6 of that passage there that Jesus already knew what he was going to do. The word of the Lord just gives us jewels in those little passages. Jesus already knew the outcome before Philip had to worry about the calculation. You see, Jesus' vision for us, what he wants to do in us and through us and for us and with us, is way bigger than we ourselves are. God's vision for you is big. To affect people's lives and to change those lives. And that's how he's glorified. Because if he just relied on our own ability and our own resources and our own knowledge, then it wouldn't be glorifying God, it would be glorifying us. And so when God takes you out of your comfort zone and carries you someplace where you didn't know you could go, know that that's God working in you and through you. Praise his name. Number two, God's vision for us is redemptive in nature. God calls us to be redeemed first and foremost. His vision is salvific for us. And God redeems us to be a channel of salvation for others. We can never lead other people to Jesus Christ unless we know him ourselves. And when we know him, then we too have a relationship and we have salvation through him. And does this mean that everybody's going to be a prophet? No, not at all. But God's vision for you, your design and your shape, the shape of your personality and whatever career you happen to be in or whatever social group you happen to be in, there is purpose for that. And that is to specifically further the gospel in all that you do. And sometimes it's appropriate to speak that gospel and to preach it right out. Jesus is Lord. He died for my sins and he died for your sins. And sometimes it's appropriate to live it out, to exude it. And we have to trust the Lord to show us the difference in those times. You see, God's not using me, if God is not using me in the redemption of other people, if he's not using my gifts and my talents and my abilities, my career for his glory, it means that I am not living out his vision for me. I'm living for me. The third thing I see here is that God's vision for us is global. He told Jeremiah that he ordained him, what? As a prophet to the nations. Right here, a prophet to the nations. He didn't send Jeremiah anywhere except the area right there around Jerusalem and Judah. But he was a prophet to the nations. You see, Jeremiah never came to North America, and yet his word is proclaimed to us here today. God has ways of making us into more than we are capable of in our finite physical being. We've been called to make disciples of nations in Matthew 28 at verse 19. And when we start living for him, when we use his touch in our lives, then other people's lives will be changed, regardless of their race or their tribe or their geography. I'm always amazed by the faith of David when he was facing Goliath the giant. What did he say to him as he went out to him? He said, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Wow, what confidence that young boy had. And he done exactly what he said. You know, David too never traveled to North America. He never went to Europe. He never went to Asia. And yet all around the world people know about David and Goliath. You see, that is God's vision for us and for our being played out in the interactions of the world. God's vision for every one of you is global. He doesn't just look at you for your own salvation. He looks at you so that you can be one of His and bring others with you. We need to catch that. No wonder Paul marveled in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 at verse 9. He said, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." And then later in verse 10 it says, "But God hath revealed them by His Spirit." Folks, the Spirit of God will live in you and work in you and be active in you as you allow it to be. It is absolutely up to us. Just like Jeremiah had an opportunity to say no, even though God had consecrated him before he was born, we too have an opportunity, and that is to allow the Holy Spirit to work within us or not. God's vision for us is big. It is redemptive, and it is global. Now the question arises here, if God has such a great and awesome vision for us, why is it that so many people don't seem to be following that vision? Why is it that so many people seem to be living just waiting for the next day to come? Why is it that so many people miss this great blessing of God? Well, I believe that there are three things that we need to do, and this is the second part of the sermon. There's three things that we need to do to be able to catch that vision. First of all, we need to watch out for your confession. Be careful for your confession. God commanded Jeremiah not to say that he was a youth. In other words, he told Jeremiah not to confess his weakness and his limitations, but to confess what God commanded him to. And what Jeremiah was saying was fact. Now, facts are not necessarily truth. God and His Word is truth. And something that can be factual, something can be factual, but not truthful. For instance, there were 10 spies who were sent into the promised land. And as they went in, they saw all kinds of people that they characterized as giants. And they came back and they made a report to people. And only 2 of the 10 said, "Yes, this is a place we can go in and take." The other 8 said, "No, these people are giants and we will get squashed if we try to go in there." Well, now, they were reporting facts. But they were not reporting the truth. Because God had already promised them, God had already told them, "I have already given this land to you." And they were then afraid to go in and possess it. They were afraid to take possession of. That's all it was, taking possession. And so there is a difference between fact and truth. And truth always comes from God's Word. And that truth is what we are called to look for, to listen to, and to live by throughout our lives. Now, let me use the example of Abraham. God appeared to Abraham, who was not a worshiper of God. He was a pagan. And he said, "I want you to move and I want you to go where I tell you to go, and I want you to follow me from this time on." So he done. He uprooted his whole life, his family, and everything. And he moved to a completely different place. And then God, after a few years there, said, "I want you to move now and give up your residence. I want you to be a nomad and go where I tell you to go when I tell you to go there." And he did. And he followed God. And then later in life, Abraham had no children and no heirs, and that was a big deal in those days. And at 75 years old, God promised Abraham, "I'm going to make you a father of nations." What did he say? He said, "My vision for you, Abraham, is global." And Abraham didn't have any children. He was 75 years old. His wife couldn't have any children. He said, what's happening here? And then, you know what God did? God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, father of many, to father of a multitude. Imagine that. Now, look, Abraham went on for another 25 years until he had a rightful heir. God promised him. And by faith, Abraham continued to be God's. Even when he didn't see the result that he thought he was going to get, the result that he wanted and desired. Now, every time Abraham said out his name to people in that whole time, father of many nations, what he was doing was confessing what God had told him he was. I am the father of many nations, even though I don't have a son. Wow, what faith. The Bible says that he didn't waver regarding the promise of God, but against all hope, it says, he hoped, in hope he believed. We get that in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Now, the second thing that we need to do to receive this gift here of God is to allow the Word of God to be in you. In order to confess the Word, we have to have the Word within us to be able to confess it. We cannot know it unless we're in it, unless it is in us. And so the Word of God has to be a part of who we are as human beings. We have to read it. We have to think about it. We have to consider it. We have to see and ask the Lord, how does it apply to me? What are you telling me, Lord, in this? Show me. Open ourselves up to it. Verse 9 says, then the Lord put out his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, now I put my words in your mouth. The way he does that for us most readily is when we read his word and take him into our being. Some have likened it to eating the Word of God. When you eat something, you ingest it, it becomes incorporated into your being, and it becomes a part of who you are, those little nutrients. And God's Word is no different. We have to ingest it. More than just reading. If you're reading, oh, I read a chapter today. I read a chapter. I read a chapter. I read three chapters. I read 10 chapters. I don't care if you read the whole Bible today. If you're just doing it to read, you're not ingesting it. It's not even passing through you. It's like putting it in your mouth and spitting it right back out because you're not getting it. It's something that we have to think about, to consider, to open ourselves up to. It's not about the volume of reading. It's about the quality of the time we give to the Lord in the reading of his word. When the word of God becomes part of us, it means that we're walking, living, and being guided by the will of God. And that means our confession will be powerful and meaningful. Just as it says in verse 10, we'll be able to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow the powers of the kingdoms of darkness. And then we will be able to build and to plant the kingdom of God in people's lives. Number 3. There is a divine vision. The word inside us will result in us having the vision of God for our lives. The word will get us into the hearts, and our hearts will begin to see God's vision for us. God asked Jeremiah, what do you see, Jeremiah, in verse 11? He wasn't asking Jeremiah what was in front of him. He was asking Jeremiah what God had put on his heart for him to see as the vision of God. And God told him, you've seen well. I am watching my word to perform it. God, the best teacher, was using a visual aid to teach Jeremiah. The almond tree is usually the first of the trees that begin to bloom in the springtime. It's usually ready to spring up when other trees are not. In fact, the word almond means wakefulness. And God was telling him that he was awake to his word. And he was ready for Jeremiah then to perform it. Beloved of God, He is still awake today for His word. And He's still ready for us to be ready to perform His word whenever He calls us. We've talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit now for the past 2 weeks. And yesterday, we've done a spiritual gifts inventory with those who were with us in the retreat. And that shows the kinds of things that are within our character, built into us, that God would give us supernatural abilities to use for the good of His people. And we have to be ready to be used by Him. You see, we are gifted to be instruments of His peace, His love in this world, in the time and in the place that He chooses for us. We have to conscientiously be ready, not just think this is something that's going to happen. Because if we think this is just something that's going to happen, then everything in the world will creep in and take over. Our television sets will get in the way, and the things that we might see there, our social interaction and our desire to be somebody in this world will get in the way of God using us and showing us Himself. We have to make this an intentional time. Is His word within you? If so, His words will be in your mouth. And His power and His authority will be evident as the word is spoken, because it will have supernatural ability to speak deeply to others. Paul told the Colossians to set their minds on heavenly things. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. And then in 2 Corinthians 4, 18 and 19, we read, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. As we finish up here this morning, I want to ask you, what do you see? Are you seeing the spiritual and not just the physical? One of the great verses that we looked at yesterday from 2 Kings chapter 8. And Elisha's servant was overcome by the reality of the physical all around him, a great army coming to destroy them. And Elisha prayed and asked God to open his eyes. And then all of a sudden his servant could see the spiritual as well as the physical. And he saw a great army of God's hosts, horsemen with fire, standing between them and the great army. What is it that God would have you see? When He opens your eyes, that you are protected, that you are loved, that you are special, and that you have been created by Him. He would have you know that you are His son or His daughter, and He has great plans for you, plans that are bigger than you could ever think of yourself, plans that are global in nature, plans that are beyond you. And He wants those plans to come to fruition. You see, He's chosen, He's consecrated each and every one of us to be His. Now, we have to choose. Are we going to allow that to be? Or are we going to turn God down? Because if we have the Word of God in us, if we have the Spirit of God active and living in us, then the Word of God will be on our lips. Do you have the word of God on your lips? Amen and amen.